It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast. Here we are talking real estate right around the UAE and available on Spotify, of course. Also, Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts from, including Amazon, you'll find us there as well. And it's a Tuesday morning, 19th day of March for 2024. I know it is starting to really get towards the middle of the year. More of your emails to mention from some of the listeners. And thank you, Cindy, in Cape Town in South Africa. Now, you tell us you're a new listener, so nice to have you with us. Denton in Hull in the UK wrote through. You've been with us for a while, as has Tony and Claire in London. So thank you for the emails. Keep them coming through. Of course, the email is dubaipropertypodcast@gmail.com. Now, I want to mention Ajman's real estate sector. It is experiencing significant growth. It got reported the other day with transactions totaling 196 million reported for last month, for February. That's according to official figures. And there is continued momentum in Ajman's real estate market with increased demand right across all of the region and property classes. And there was a special mention here of 44.7% surge in commercial property values compared to the month prior. Gee, that's pretty big, isn't it? That's in 1 month, they're claiming, which really does underpin the appeal from investors looking outside of Dubai. So let's welcome in, because it is a Tuesday, Mario Volpi is patiently waiting. And Mario, first off, you have mentioned Ajman as a real destination. It's been a little bit sort of under the radar, but it's gaining traction, isn't it?
It is. Good morning to everybody. Yes, Ajman has always been an alternative to Dubai, albeit, dare I say, on a lesser scale. But the figures that you've just mentioned, whilst I can't really comment on the commercial side, I'm wondering whether the residential side has been boosted because of a project that actually was launched a while ago, kind of went quiet a bit, but has kind of been relaunched, and it's called Al Zora. Now, Al Zora is a master community right down on the beach. There's a golf course, there's hotels, beautiful beachside villas, and it's kind of like the Dubai Hills, if you like, of Ajman. And a lot of interest is on this project now, and we're also selling it. So I believe that is the reason why the numbers have surged ahead in the last month or two.
You know, I think that Ajman is going to be a little bit like Russell Kamar. I think there's going to be more and more attention placed on Ajman, particularly with these sorts of numbers. Now, of course, we are talking real estate right around the UAE, and there's a little bit of a talking point here. We have got a merger that has happened with Nakheel. So tell us what all of this means and who Nakheel have merged with.
Yes, on Saturday, Craig, it was announced by Sheikh Mohammed himself that Nakheel and Maydan were to merge under the same umbrella of Dubai Holding. Now, Dubai Holding also has Meras as part of its stable and will continue to be led by Sheikh Ahmed bin Said Al Maktoum, who is also the chairman of Emirates.
And so what does this mean for people? Because it is quite a significant merger.
Yeah, I assume they want to streamline the Dubai off-plan growth by creating this one huge entity, much like Aldar has done in Abu Dhabi. This should also lead to being financially more efficient, because don't forget that both Nakheel and Maydan were part-owned by the government already and were in direct competition with each other. So it makes perfect sense to me to bring them under one roof.
Now, the $6 million question some people might be asking is, will we see more off-plan come into the marketplace?
I believe so, definitely. I'm sure we'll see more master communities being developed and eventually delivered in order to cater for the growing population of Dubai. It's important to note both Nikhil and Maidan are not just building residential units, but are both heavily involved with retail, hospitality, leisure, and of course, entertainment.
And Mario, tell us a little bit about the latest property growth stats. What's happening with the yields and the growth?
Well, according to CBRE, the UAE's residential properties are expected to provide yields of between 7 to 7.5%, with premium properties coming in slightly lower, 6.25 to 7%. The UAE stands alone as the Middle East's only real estate market that recorded both price and transactional volume growth in 2023.
All right, so what has happened to prices in Dubai and Abu Dhabi for, if we reflect back over 2023?
Well, prices rose for both Emirates from the previous year, i.e. 2022 going into 2023. The average prices per square meter in Abu Dhabi grew to 5.1% for apartments and 8.5% for villas, whereas in Dubai, those figures grew 20.5% for apartments, which was very large, but it was the same 8.5% for villas.
And for the rest of 2024, I say the rest because just at the top of the show, 19th day of March, we're well and truly into 2024. So how is that likely to play out for the remainder of the year?
Well, transactional volumes are expected to rise for Abu Dhabi, whereas for Dubai, the trend for transactional volumes could be slightly lower, but prices potentially will definitely be moderately up.
Talking of up, boy, it was a scary week last week with the Dreamliner losing control. Boy, that could have ended in disaster. And I'm going to segue from that into the Dubai airport because it has won another accolade. Is that right?
Well, a recent survey by All Clear Travel Insurance has ranked Dubai International as the most luxurious airport in the world. Now, more than 1,800 airports were analysed as part of the study.
Okay, and what did they look at? What sort of factors did they say, right, this is a tick, this is a tick? What did they look at?
Yeah, there were a number of considerations, Craig, which included how many lounges were on offer. By the way, a minimum of 10 were needed to be included. Other factors were how many five-star hotels were within a five-mile radius of the airport, how many designer shops were on offer, and whether they had any champagne or caviar bars in the department lounge.
Yeah, well, that's pretty important, isn't it? The old champagne and caviar.
Yeah, you've got to have a bit of champagne. Well, it's champagne or caviar, in fact. So, But after all these considerations, the airports were then ranked out of 100 points.
Okay, so who were the top five?
Obviously, Dubai at number one. In second place was London's Heathrow, who missed out on the top spot by just 1 point. How annoying is that for them? Heathrow was recognized for its impressive lounge offerings, as well as the number of luxury boutiques. Doha Hamad International came in third and was praised for its impressive design and sheer size and shopping options. In fourth was Charles de Gaulle in Paris, and fifth was Sydney International Airport.
Wow, that's a surprise. Sydney International Airport. Well, there you go. Now, talking of accolades, let's turn our attention to Dubai Mall. Not to buy anything, but you got some news around this.
Yes, Craig. So Dubai continues to break records. So again, these are stats that have come out from 2023. And in 2023, with 105 million people, Dubai Mall saw the most visitors than any other global attraction. And this trend is definitely continuing because just in January and February alone this year, already 20 million people have visited Dubai Mall. So I'm sure it will take the top attraction accolade again in 2024.
And it's not going to take long before, you know, you can go to the Dubai Mall in the future in your flying car. Air taxis are back in the news.
Yeah, as you may know, the UAE is trying to be the first country to introduce flying taxis as part of their transportational offerings. So with this in mind, I can confirm that Evol aircraft developer Archer Aviation has signed an agreement with Falcon Aviation in order to develop air taxi infrastructure. I understand that two vertiports will be built, one in Dubai and one in Abu Dhabi. So for Dubai, this will be at the Atlantis Hotel on the Palm. And for Abu Dhabi, it will be in Marina Mall. That's all the information I have at the moment, Craig. So let's just watch this space for future announcements.
Yeah, and talking of cars, I have to tell you, I re-watched Ford versus Ferrari on Netflix over the weekend. Boy, that is such an amazing story. Little bit cheesy with the love story, I felt, in parts, but Carroll Shelby and the story of Ken Miles. I mean, here is a guy from the UK living in the US. That was such an amazing story. You know, he was such a mechanic and really did help them win that at Le Mans.
I have to admit, this is one film I remember when it came out, so I've got to go and see it. And then for whatever reason, it just went under the radar for me.
Oh,
I never got around to see it. No, Craig. So I'll do you a deal. You try and see the Ferrari film that you still haven't seen,
yeah,
and I'll make sure I watch Ford versus Ferrari, and then we can talk about it on another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a terrific film. If you only saw that at the movies, definitely watch that again. It's got a little nod to Bruce McLaren, because Bruce McLaren is a Kiwi like me. And a lot of people don't put that together. And I don't think you did, Mario, that the McLaren racing team was born from Bruce McLaren in New Zealand.
No, I naturally thought he was British. Yeah. So I learned something today. In the past, those tracks, you know, with the safety that we have now, with the halos and everything, in those days, you didn't have that. So you had an accident, it was often fatal.
All right. Well, that's a nice cheery way to end the podcast, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That is Mario. He is going to be back. Of course, you're with us now twice a week. You're back on Saturday, of course, with Lillian and also Michael doing such
with
a good
Michael.
Job.
Yeah, well, it's really good that we're able to come on air a second time during the week, because with what's happening in Dubai, there's so much to talk about literally on a daily basis. So hopefully the listeners are enthralled with the content that we come up with.
Yeah, well, you know, we do these podcasts multiple times every week, and we could easily be doing a podcast every day. And who knows, we might end up getting to that sort of scenario for that very reason. There is so much going on in the marketplace to talk about real estate. All right, well, we'll leave it there, Mario. Enjoy your Tuesday. Catch you back on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Craig, and goodbye to all the listeners.
What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
So we're talking about communities that are going to be bigger than Damakil's, which is about 42 million. It's bigger than Dubai Marina, which is 50 million square foot. And they're really, as you mentioned, going to add this much needed villa and townhouse supply to the market.
It's an interesting one. I think people like talking about it because it is completely off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really very futuristic design project. They say it's going to include two 500 meter tall skyscrapers. Craig, I mean, if all goes well, we probably will be able to do the podcast from the line, probably sometime around 2030.
Prices are up, as we know, and developer sales are actually priced higher than ready units of similar caliber in a lot of projects. So either way, both investors and end users seem to be gaining a newfound patience and are willing to wait for their property to be built. So eager to see if this off-plan trend continues upwards.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.